Blog Talk Radio.
Nervous?
Yeah. Oh, Blaze. Brings back so many good memories.
Remember our road trip in 97?
Our first real heart-to-heart.
I've never seen any of your movies! Not even the ones we're in together!
Hey, do you remember when that stalker kidnapped us?
Yes!
Blaze was there.
Blaze.
Do you have a barbecue?
Or a cheddar jalapeno?
Ooh.
Oh, remember when we stumbled into that turf war?
Remember when you bought your first house?
Hey, I'm dead!
Those were good times. They were golden.
You ready?
Seth, do you?
I do.
And Janet, do you?
That's a yes.
Yeah! I love this lady!
Tongue. This is a product of WBNN. This is Know Your Rights, and I'm your host, Terrence Strength, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Call in, family, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. And, of course, this is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Before I begin, I would like to thank Brother Odeli and ONE Dynasty family for giving me the opportunity to share my story and my perspective. The topic this evening is Spirituality, A New Perspective. Interview with award-winning author Stephen Hawley Martin. We are honored to have him on the show this evening. Did you know humans can only see 1% of the visible light spectrum, which means we can only see 1% of what is going on around us? In other words, we are unable to see the vast 99% of the world we live in. Take a moment to absorb that. The majority of our existence is unseen. I want you guys to think about that. Tonight we have an honored guest, award-winning author Stephen Hawley Martin. This guy has been a prolific writer. He's written about 24 books, all types of books. It seems like he's gained most popularity with his metaphysical books, and I'm honored to have him on here tonight. He delves in intellectually about answering some of these questions that we have about some of these spiritual topics that I've talked about on some of my shows, and he's going to go in farther tonight, and we're going to get his perspective tonight. So please bring your thinking caps, call in with your questions. Again, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. And, of course, this is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Call in, family. So at this point, I want to welcome Stephen Hawley Martin on the show. Mr. Martin, are you available?
Yes, I am. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I'm glad to have you here.
Yeah.
Good. Yes. So you're the man of the hour tonight. We're going to talk about some of these things a little bit. So just to get started, I want you to tell the listening audience a little bit about your story and how you ended down this path.
Yeah, well, it's kind of an interesting question. I grew up in a family that was very scientifically minded, and they believed that if couldn't see it under a microscope, it didn't exist. So, I mean, they were what I would call today. I would call them scientific materialists. They thought that the only thing that existed was matter, you know, material substance, and that's really what's taught in school in science today, even though to me it's pretty incredible that because there's so much more that exists than just matter. I mean, you know, the whole spiritual realm and all that. But I didn't believe that when I was growing up because I believe what my parents believed, and I believe what the teachers told me in school. But I had an experience when I was about 25 years old that caused me to question all that. I had what would be called an out-of-body experience. I'm not sure it was a near-death experience, although I was pretty sick at the time when it happened. And I suddenly felt myself leave my body, and that started me to question that whole materialistic point of view that a lot of people still have today. So that's how it started. But I'm an advertising guy. I spent most of my life in the advertising business. I was principal of the ad agency that created the Geico Gecko and Virginia's for Lovers. And, I had a good time doing that. I love creative doing stuff, you know, to create. And that's why I like one of the reasons I like to write books. I'm a writer, and I've written a whole bunch of them. I've written 5 novels and bunch of business books, but also what I guess the books that do the best, as you mentioned earlier, the ones that are metaphysical about life after death and reincarnation and all that sort of thing. So there you go, Terrace. Back
to
you.
All right. Okay, good. So let me ask you, so what caused you to question the materialistic view of reality that you were brought up to hold? I mean, I know you told your story about your near life experience,
yeah,
your death.
Yeah, well, there are a couple of things. One was that first experience when I was about 25. I was working at an ad agency in Baltimore, and I had two roommates. We had an apartment. I was single, but I had, on a Saturday night, I had a bad case of the flu. I was nursing that flu. I was in bed. You know, when you're 25 years old, you're a bachelor, you don't want to be in bed on Saturday night, not by yourself anyway. And
right.
But I was really very sick. And then I heard some people come into the apartment down. I was up on the second floor. It was a two-floor apartment. I was up where the bedrooms were, in my bedroom, and heard some people come in downstairs, and then I heard some more people come in downstairs, and I realized my roommates had invited half the neighborhood over, and they were having a party down there. So
okay.
I decided, heck, I'm going to get up, you know, maybe I'll feel better if I go downstairs, you know, and I have a couple of drinks or stuff, whatever they're having down there. And that's what I did. I put some clothes on, went downstairs, had a couple of drinks. And somebody was passing around a funny cigarette. I took a couple of puffs of that. And then I started feeling really, really awful. And I practically knee-walked back upstairs to my bedroom. I flopped down the bed, and I felt the thing spinning like I was like on the blade of a helicopter that was taken off. And suddenly, poof, I just left my body, and it was suddenly everything was very calm. And I was looking up at the ceiling, and I saw the kind of cracks in the ceiling and you know, a little dirt in the cracks. And I was thinking, you know, this ceiling needs a paint job. Then I turned around and looked down at my body, and it was on the bed and looked like roadkill. I mean, just sprawled out. And I thought up until that moment that I was my body. You know, that's what you think if you're a materialist. But I realized, it took a little while to sink in, but, you know, I'm up here and my body's down there. My brain is in my head down there. So, you know,
right.
My consciousness, I'm up here. I'm my consciousness. And it didn't last very long. I went back into my, you know, body. I woke up the next morning. I felt a little bit better. But it started me on this quest, Terrence, where I joined the Rosicrucian Society, which is a society of mystics that study metaphysical laws. I took all their courses. I became what they call an adept. I read everything I could get my hands on. And about 10 or 15 years ago, I had a podcast. We didn't call them podcasts, and an internet radio show. And I started interviewing people. It was called The Truth About Life. And I interviewed quantum physicists, people who had near-death experiences. I interviewed two different psychiatrists who say they depossess people of spirits. And these weren't religious people. These were psychiatrists. I interviewed people who were studying the paranormal and psychic phenomena, and I really got into it all. That's when I started writing these metaphysical books. I'd written a couple of novels before that and some business books, but really they've done very well. And I have to tell you that it changed the way I look at life completely. I know now that we are we're spiritual beings, eternal spiritual beings that are having a temporary physical experience here on planet Earth. And when you come to that realization, as I have, it just changes your whole outlook on everything. I'm not afraid to die. I often say I'm like Woody Allen, who once said, "I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens." But you know, I don't want to feel the pain part. But as far as the being dead part, I there is no such thing. You know, you just transition into another reality. So there you go.
Yes. Wow. What a story. So you said you joined the Rosicrucian Society, huh? Do you recommend that today? Would you do it again all over
they,
again?
They know what's going on. Teach about reincarnation. That metaphysical laws. The basic law of metaphysics is that like attracts like, and practice.
Right.
And so many come from that. You know, the law of attraction and so on. And really how you, what your beliefs are, create your reality, because, you know, what you are, what your beliefs are, you're going to attract that to you. You know, if you think you're a victim,
right,
you're going to be a victim. If you think you're a winner, you're going to be a winner. So
like,
that's the biggest thing I got out of that I keep with me, that I remind myself all the time that that's a truth, because I see it happening not only with myself but also with other people. Now they attract to themselves what they believe is true.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yes. So the next question I had was, what is the true nature of reality? I think you kind of talked about it. Maybe you want to delve in more. As I told you, I did a couple of shows on Seth, the personal nature of reality. And when you and I spoke, you told me that you had read those books and you were aware of that.
I like those books. I think Seth is right on. The true nature of reality, the fact of the matter is, we are taught in school and science classes that all that exists is matter. But the fact of the matter is, that is not true, and I can give you some evidence for that. But
please.
What I believe is that we are, that the basis of reality, the ground of being, is mind, is consciousness, and that we are living in what is, could be compared to a dream that the infinite mind, the cosmic mind, is having, and we're each characters in that dream. And we come from that mind, and we are windows on that mind. We think we're separate because we have egos that have been built up in this lifetime from the time we were babies until now. And we also have subconscious minds or souls that have really been built up over probably many lifetimes for most of us. But we are all one, and we're all part of that infinite mind that is the ground of being, and it's the infinite mind that creates our reality, creates matter. One of the things the Rosicrucians teach, which is absolutely true, and any quantum physicist will tell you, is there really is no such thing as solid stuff. It's all energy. It's little tiny particles and waves that are just moving very fast that make it look like it's solid, but it's not. You know, if you looked at anything under a powerful enough microscope, you would see that that it's all atoms and little things flying around. And so everything is energy. E equals mc squared, that course from Einstein. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. And so everything, in fact, is energy. And I believe that the ground of being is what quantum physicists call the infinite, the unified field. But that unified field really is consciousness, and it's mind. And we are part of this dream that the infinite mind is having. And yet we are characters in that dream, and we think we're separate. So that's my picture of reality.
Powerful.
There you go.
Powerful. Thank you. I think we have a track next by the Internet Radio Hall of Fame legend, DJ Olasky. We have another track.
What's that?
I can't let
All right, family, we're back on here tonight. We have award-winning author Stephen Hawley Martin on tonight. I think we have a caller in the queue. Caller one, who am I speaking with? This is Terry Strong, Know Your Rights Show.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, it's Jerry Petito, Terry. How are you, sweetheart?
Doing great. How are you doing, Jerry?
I'm doing good, darling. Just wanted to call in and say hello to you and your guest.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I heard him talk about AMC Square and Einstein, and I was cracking up laughing because I love Einstein's story, and he lived here in Princeton near me, and I brought my friends from Australia to see the house he lived in, but I don't really know much about all the rest of the stuff.
Okay.
Well, he was a pretty bright guy, I have to say that.
Well, do you know the story about his house with the door they had to paint a different color?
No, what's that? That's interesting. Okay. I've never heard that.
It's so cool. So he was from Princeton, and I'm in Robbinsville. So, again, it took my friends coming from Australia to me to finally get there because I wanted to see it for years. And they have the plaque out. You know, this was his house, but – back then, so we're going back then, all the houses on this particular street kind of looked the same at the time, and all the doors were painted the same colors, and he always went into the wrong doors. He would always go to the neighbor's home. So they actually made a variance for Einstein, and they painted his door. I think it was red or black, a different color, so he knew his house.
That's interesting. Yeah, he was, I guess, sort of like the absent-minded professor or something like
yes,
that, right?
Yes, exactly. So I always love that story.
Yeah, cool.
So I wanted to just call in and say hello to you guys.
Well, thanks.
But thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.
Jerry's one of our hosts. When is your next show, Jerry?
Okay. Let's see, my next show. Oh, I'm terrible because I'm not prepared. It was February 8th. I can tell you that. So it's 4 weeks from February 8th on a Tuesday.
This is a Hall of Famer host on here, Mr. Martin, the Indomitable Jerry Petito. Thanks for calling in, Jerry. Thanks for your comments. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, Mr. Martin. So here's a question I really wanted to ask you, and I definitely want to hear you prove how this exists. So do we really reincarnate, and if so, why? And how do we prove it? How are we proving it?
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, good question. Good question, Terrence. There has been a lot of research done on reincarnation, and probably the most thorough job has been done by the University of Virginia School of Medicine, a division of that school called the Division of Perceptual Studies. They started back in 1962, I believe, a man named Ian Stevenson. He was a psychiatrist, and he was head of the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Virginia School of Medicine. And he was interested in reincarnation. He was, by the way, was a Canadian, went to McGill University. And the school got a grant from the guy who invented the Xerox machine, who obviously made a lot of money with that, gave the school money. This guy was interested in reincarnation. He gave him the money to study it. Since 1962, they have studied more than 2,500 cases of children who remember or say they remember a past life. And they have checked out what the child said and compared, you know, went and found somebody with the name that he said he had, or she said, the village or the town where they or city where they lived, who their relatives were, what their job had been in that lifetime, how they died, all this kind of information. And out of the 2,500 cases that they have studied, they say that 1,700 or so, something like 70% of them, have checked out as far as what the child said, they've been able to find somebody that matched up with that description and that all that information that was given. And so to me, when you've got 1,700 cases that seem to be absolutely pretty airtight, it's hard to deny that it happens. Now, does it happen to everybody? We can't say that for sure. I feel that it does. I feel that it's part of how life works. That, and you ask me, why do we reincarnate? I think the reason is that what life is all about is evolution. We're growing. Each time we come to Earth through our mother's womb and we come into this is a hard place to be, you know. The Buddha says that life is suffering. And one of the best books I ever read, spiritual type books, was called The Road Less Traveled. The first three words of that book are life is difficult, and it is. But it's difficult for a reason, because when we meet problems, we deal with them, we learn from them. You know, it may be hard as hell when we're going through it, but once we go through something and we deal with it and we get out on the other side and we look back, we realize that we've grown and we've become better people because of what we've gone through. Most of us at least feel that way. And that's why we come here. We come here to experience and to grow and to evolve. And so that's why I think we have reincarnation, because we are in the process of evolving. And we will continue evolving until we no longer have to come to planet Earth, to the University of Earth or the College of Earth,
right,
if you want to call it. You know,
exactly.
Let me quickly tell you, if we have time, anybody who's seen the movie Groundhog Day, to me, that is the perfect allegory, you know, the guy starts out, he's a real jerk, he treats people terribly, the girl that doesn't like him, Andy McDowell, doesn't like him because he's such a jerk, but he keeps repeating that day over and over again, the same things happen, until finally at the end of the movie, he handles every situation in the best and the right way, in the most loving way, in the most helpful way, and that's when he's finally able to move on to February 3rd, to the day after Groundhog Day, and the girl, he gets the girl too. So that's what we're doing. We're facing these situations, we're overcoming them, we're growing because of it. And that's what I think life is about and what reincarnation is about. So there you go.
Absolutely. That's a fantastic answer. I think we have another caller in the queue. Caller 2, who am I speaking with? You want to know your own self.
Hello, Terrence. This is Mo Garman calling from Philadelphia.
How are you doing, Mo?
I'm doing just great. I wanted to call in and support your show. I have a question for your guest. Mr. Martin, it's about reincarnation. You just mentioned a lot about reincarnation. And do we reincarnate to balance karma? Is that pretty much what you're saying?
Yeah, well, karma is yes. The answer to the quick answer is yes, but I think we need to talk about karma a little bit, because a lot of people, I think, have a misunderstanding about it. They think it's like you're being punished. If you did something bad to someone, eventually that same kind of bad thing is going to come back to you. And that's true in a way, but it's really more of a learning thing. I said earlier in the show that like attracts like. That's the basic law of metaphysics. So what's in your mind, in your psyche, is what you attract. So let's say, for example, you probably know somebody who always seems to attract the wrong kind of person to them, you know, who abuses them either physically or psychologically, and, you know, they finally break up with that person, and then they get somebody new, and the new person does the same thing. Well, that person probably is thinking, well, it must be my karma. And it is that karma, except what the universe is trying to teach that person is that they must have a low opinion of themselves, and that's why they attract somebody who has a low opinion of them, because like attracts like. So to overcome that karma, they need to change their opinion about themselves and realize what I said earlier, that they are an eternal spiritual being, a very powerful eternal spiritual being having a temporary physical experience, and they don't need to put up with that crap. That's how they get over that karma. It's not that they're being punished. It's that they need to grow to another level, and then they're not going to have to deal with that kind of a problem again. So that's my take on karma. And yes, we do reincarnate to deal with karma and overcome it. And that's part of the whole thing of growing and evolving. So that's where I come out on that.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Was that satisfactory for you, Mo?
Yes, it was. Thank you.
And Mo, this is one of our hosts on Mr. Martin. This is one of our hosts, Mo Farman, breaking us on. When is your next show, Mo?
My next show is February the 25th.
Okay. Looking forward to your next show. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate your comments. Thank you. I think we have another track, Internet Radio Hall of Fame legend, DJ Olasky. Let O hit it.
We'll be right back.
All right, family. Well, Lil, thanks for that track. All right, I think we have another caller in the queue. Caller three, who am I speaking with? You on the Know Your Rights show with Terrence Smith?
Hi, peace and blessings, Brother Terrence, and peace and blessings to Mr. Martin.
Thank
this
you.
Is Bessie on this evening.
Yes. Hi. I'm listening to Mr. Martin. I have a question, but it's almost like karma in a way. Does he believe in curses by someone's action on a metaphysical level? If someone commits a crime and like a murder, intentional murder, murder of a whole family and things like that, do you believe that that family could be cursed from what they've done and, like, karma is sent back from another family or to another generation? Do you think a curse exists like that on a metaphysical level, if that person puts a curse on their family?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure I know the answer to that. You know, there's something in the Bible about sins of the fathers, you know, working down several generations forward. But I think that's more of passing down, you know, ideas and things that, you know, if a child is treated poorly and then he's going to treat his children poorly and, you know, that'll continue on for many generations, potentially. So somebody breaks that cycle. But as far as curses go, I think that what we believe is what happens. If we have a belief, so cursed by someone, you know, who maybe in a primitive society, it might be a shaman or a witch doctor would curse somebody, and that person would actually die from it, drop dead.
Mm-hmm.
Is curse that caused it? Or is it the belief of the person who was cursed, who received the curse? I think that if a witch doctor curses somebody in his tribe and that person died because he believed he would, because he believed that the curse was strong. If I walk into that same tribe and the witch doctor curses me, I'll laugh it off. You know, or maybe I'll be like Indiana Jones and pull out my gun and shoot the guy. I don't know. But anyway, I don't think it would affect me. So I think what's going on with curses and things like that is what the people believe who are cursed. They think it's going to cause them problems. It's going to cause them problems because that's what's in their head. Like attracts like. That's what we've been talking about a lot tonight. And I think that same rule applies. So that's where I come out on it. What do you think?
Okay. No, I. What if a person don't even know that they had been cursed from someone else and their life is destroyed because that person did not know? Because it's a such thing as magic.
Well, I think there's something to magic, yeah. Whether or not somebody can curse another person and have it actually work out, maybe so, but I don't know. I guess I have to say that I feel ambivalent about that. I do believe, you know, there have been studies done where, like things like plants or water, if somebody curses them and is angry at them, you know, they get all twisted up and so forth. You've maybe seen some things like that. So I think there's something to it. I just don't know. I think it's a great question. What do you think?
Okay. No, I was just thinking about the karma, you know, and sometimes things happen to people after they have done something. It may have happened years ago, And it turns out and comes back to another family member generation. So that's what
I
was
thinking
about.
Well, I think that
about.
There's something. I think that it's something like that, a murder or something terrible is done. I think that there's some kind of a bond that is built with that and that has to be resolved. There's a case of a guy named Brian Weiss. You may have heard of him, who wrote a book called The Many Lives, Many Masters. And he was a psychiatrist who had a patient named Catherine, or probably not a real name, but he describes where this woman had all kinds of neuroses and problems. And when he got into it, and he didn't believe in reincarnation before he met this woman, but he regressed her in hypnotism back to her childhood to try to find out where these ideas came from, these neuroses came from. And he said, go back to the time when this first occurred. And she went back to a life that took place over 3,500 years ago. And long story short is she went through this therapy and past life regression, and she had been incarnating with the same guy over 3,000 years. How many times they've done it? Because they had this unresolved issues between them. And so when it finally came out, she was able to get over all of that because she realized, you know, now what was going on. But there you had a situation where something that happened 3,500 years ago was recurring over many lives because they never got the issue straight. So she was murdered a couple of times and all that. So there you go. I mean, yeah, I think there's something to it. I don't pretend to know all the answers, however.
Oh, thank you. You answered greatly. Thank you so much. And I'm a fellow host. I will be on March the 4th. My segment is The Front Porch. And thank you so much for answering my question. And thank you, Terrence. I love your show.
Thanks for calling in, Sister Bessie. Thank you. that was pretty interesting. That was Many Lives, Many Masters. Very good book.
Yeah, great book.
So I want to ask you this question before we get another caller or somebody. So when and how did modern science get off track? Like, when did it all happen?
Yeah, good question. You know, up until, I think it started getting off the track, probably I date it to about the 17th century, 16-something. You know, people have believed other dimensions, reincarnation has been part of the Hindu religion for 5,000 years. And the Buddhists and the Taoists, and certainly even up until 500 A.D., it was part of the Christian religion, and then it got taken out back in one of those meetings of the Pope. What happened is, you know, back in the 16th century, they were still executing people they thought were witches. In fact, my 7 times great-grandmother, Susanna North Martin, was one of the Salem witches. So I've studied this. I studied her life and that whole thing that went around. I even wrote a book about it. There was a guy back then, an English philosopher named Thomas Hobbes, and he wrote a book called Leviathan, and he was very well known, and he said that if God created it, then all that is basically material reality, that all these other things, you know, like demons and ghosts and stuff don't exist. And intellectuals of that age latched onto that. And what came from it was what's called the Age of Enlightenment. And people in the 18th century, Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin and people like that, latched on to that idea, and it became what's called their idea of God was the great clockmaker theory. It's called deism is the actual name. And that is the idea mm-hmm. that God created the universe, wound it up like a clock, made all the rules and laws of physics and so forth, and let it go, and is no longer involved in it. And that's what intellectuals still think, except when Darwin came along 100 years later, in mid-19th century, 1859 is when he published The Origin of Species, they were able to get rid of God altogether. And so our scientific community, starting back in the 18th century and moving forward until today, still latches onto the idea that all that exists is material substance, matter, even though there's all kinds of evidence that that's impossible. And I can get into some of that if we have time and you're interested. But that's how we got off track. It started with Thomas Hobbes. It was picked up by the Age of Enlightenment. Darwin and his theory of evolution added to that, and they're still clinging to that today. Nothing exists except matter, which we know is not true, but they hold on to it. It's their religion.
Right. All right, I think we have another track by the Internet Radio Hall of Fame legend, DJ Alasky. Hello?
Mommy, they found me.
This is the Know Your Rights Show. I'm your host, Carlin Family, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Of course, this is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. We have Mr. Stephen Hawley Martin on this evening. He's dropping some knowledge on us tonight. All right, I think we have another caller in the queue. Caller 4, who am I speaking with?
Hello, hi. How you guys doing? My name is Ricardo Richard. I'm also a host on the network. I just had a question for your guest. I believe he was saying something about an out-of-body experience or something like that. I just wanted to know, like, with his out-of-body experience, was it anything that he saw or, you know, any information or anything like that?
Good question. You know, on that first out-of-body experience I had that I talked about earlier in the show, not really much happened except that I popped out and I saw myself from looking down from the ceiling. But later on, about 10 years later, I had another, what I guess would be described as a mystical experience, where I was meditating. This was after I had gone through the whole Rosicrucian thing. And it was in my backyard. It was a beautiful late spring, early summer day, perfect weather. And I was meditating and I felt like I merged with the universal consciousness. I suddenly was able to see auras around trees, around people, around the grass. And it became more intense, where I really felt like I knew everything. If I thought about a subject or a topic, I would know everything there was to know about it. And it was like, wow, this is the most incredible experience. I don't know how long it lasted, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. But whatever I thought about, I knew the answers. And I brought some of that back with me. And that's where, you know, I talked earlier about my idea of what the true nature of reality is, that we're really part of this one cosmic mind, this infinite mind, that we think we're separate, but we're really part of it, extensions of it. We're connected to it. We're like windows on it. We feel like we're separate, but we're not. All that feeling was reinforced by that experience that I had. And I've since then found a lot of information from quantum physics and other sources that reinforces that belief. But when I had that experience, I think I was probably about 35 years old, that is when it really came home to me. And I'm telling you, once you realize that we're all one, you know, we're all brothers and sisters, we all come, we're sons of the, and daughters of the infinite mind, and you know, when everybody realizes that, the world is going to be such a much better place, because we're going to be able to get along with one another and really help each other out, because, you know, we really are. We're one life, one human family, and that's what I realized from all that. So there you go.
Okay, wow.
What do you think about that, Ricardo?
It's a lot of information to retain. I've actually, like, you know, when I was younger, I thought about, I've always wondered, like, what people thought about as far as out-of-body experiences and stuff like that. So there's a lot of stuff out there on YouTube, you get what I mean, about a lot of this stuff. Some people say they see heaven, some people say they see hell, you know, so. It's just interesting to get, you know, a different perspective on it all, you know, so.
Yeah, you know, there's a place here in Virginia called the Monroe Institute, and it's out in the mountains and near the Blue Ridge Mountains, and you can go there. I mean, it's expensive, but you can go there for a weekend, and they have these chambers that they put in, this kind of music that they play called hemisync. And people, I know people who've gone there who say they induce an out-of-body experience, and they are able to travel into the astral planes. It's amazing. This guy, Bob
Monroe,
wrote a book called Journeys Out of the Body probably 30, 40 years ago. But he founded this institute, and that's what it's for. It's to study that. And I've had several people that I've interviewed who've done that weekend, and they say it really happens. They really are able to travel into other dimensions out of the body, and they meet other beings that are in there, you know. I mean, it's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. You look it up. It's called the Monroe Institute. Probably Google that and find out a whole lot more about it.
The Monroe Institute, it is called. I write this down.
The Monroe Institute. It's in Faber, Virginia, which is out near the Blue Ridge Mountains, just east of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Okay. All right.
Wow. Ricardo, did you answer your question?
Definitely. I think so. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, my show is on February 28th. So, yeah.
Thank you. We're looking forward to hearing your show. He's another fellow host, Mr. Martin. Thanks for calling in, Ricardo. I appreciate it. Appreciate your comments.
Righto.
All right, I think we have another caller in the queue. Caller 5. Who am I speaking with? You want to know your right show?
How are you doing, Terry? This is Antonio Batts.
Antonio Batts, how are you doing, man?
Coming along fine, thank you. I am interested in the topic that you're discussing. Along with your present guest. And I get the impression that he really believes in his work to the point that he writes a book or anything like that that, you know, we don't know about it. So I hope you'll announce it before the show is over. And also, I wanted to ask him a couple of questions. How are you? Speaking up to the guest.
Okay.
Sorry. I just wanted to make sure that I wanted to ask you, now, to my understanding, you did say something about there was something related to a religion around either the 17th or the 18th century that comes from out of, I'm not sure what area or like what part of the planet, that they believed in materialism. Would you, number one, tell us what the materialism is? Is it like an obsession with worldly goods or whatever? That was one question. Thank you. And the other part of the question, okay, another question. Have you ever had anybody who said that they don't believe in any of this stuff because they look at it like a hocus pocus, but they turned around and found out that it had came to be that they actually saying they haven't believed, and therefore they wasn't sure if it was real or not, and did it affect them? Have you ever ran into an individual like that? And by the way, I do like your answers, and thank you very much. Thank you, Terrence.
Sure. Yeah, as far as materialism goes, that's really what our science is based on, the idea that, you know, we're Western science is very you know, we study little parts and pieces of things. We don't look at the whole. And that's really done well for us as far as, you know, advancing the scientific community. And we've got all these inventions, you know, we got washing machines and airplanes and cars and all that stuff that have come out of that kind of science. But it's based on the idea that only material substance, matter, exists. It says that there's no such thing as a spiritual world, that actually the consciousness, one of the things that our science cannot explain is consciousness. They say the brain creates it, but they don't know how the brain creates it because the brain is matter. And the fact of the matter is the brain does not create consciousness. The brain is a receiver of consciousness. Our consciousness exists somewhere else. It's non-local. And our brain, you know, we're takes our consciousness and integrates it with our body. And we think that our mind is inside our head, but it's really not. It's just as it's focused there by our brain. It's like our brain is a cell phone or a computer that takes that information from somewhere else and brings it into our head. But anyway, that, and then the other part of the question was, I'm not sure whether someone didn't believe all this and something happened to them that caused them to change, because that happens all the time. You know, somebody,
right.
I know of atheists who have had near-death experiences and they suddenly realize afterwards that they're, you know, they were wrong, that there is a life after death and that our consciousness continues and that our consciousness is not created by our brain or located in our head, because they've been out of their body and into the other dimensions. So, yeah, that sort of thing happens all the time. And you could go on YouTube, for example, just put atheists, near-body experience, out-of-body experience, or near-death experience, atheist. I'll bet you you'd get about 10 videos that would come up that you could watch where somebody who was an atheist found out that they were wrong and they no longer are an atheist. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling in, Ms. Batch. Wow, that was a great answer. I think we have another track by DJ Olavsky. Thank you for that track. All right, family, we have the award-winning author Stephen Harvey Martin on tonight, the award-winning writer of metaphysical books. He's on tonight. I think we have another caller in the queue, caller six. Who am I speaking with?
Hello.
Who is this?
Hello. This is Brother Ahmed.
How are you doing, Brother Ahmed?
I'm back again. I've been missing for a minute, but I had to take a break. I had to get some stuff straight in my life, so now I can think again. It's been a great show. I had a question about astral projection. Mr. Martin, I've heard people say, and I've read some books that say, that when we sleep and we dream, we are astral projecting on a regular basis. Is that something that you find to be true, or do you see it as something different than that?
I think that's absolutely correct. I think that every night, we go into that mental realm, and that we often, if you've ever had a dream about someone who has passed away, for example, all the time I hear stories of those who will meet with their father or their uncle or somebody who's passed on because that person has a message for them. And I think that really does happen. I think that we often communicate with people who are on the other side when we're asleep in our dreams. And then lucid dreams are even more so that way, where you realize you're dreaming and it becomes really very, very real to you. But yeah, I think that's what happens. I think we're astral projecting, as you said, when we're dreaming, when we're asleep, and it's every night. I think that's one of the reasons we sleep. It's to rest our bodies, but it's also to enable us to communicate with other souls, other beings, when we're at night. And we may even make deals. Sometimes we don't remember a lot of the times. Most of the time we don't remember, but we'll be communicating with them. And I think that's one of the reasons that when you go to bed, you've got some real problem on your hands. Things look like they're going to be, something awful is going to happen or whatever. And then you sleep that night, and the next morning you wake up and you feel better about it. Well, it's because while you are asleep, you got some problem resolved somehow or other, maybe with other spirits or whatever have intervened and worked things out. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. I believe that's what happens.
Quick question. Is deja vu another version of astral projection, or is it something else?
I think there's a couple things that can cause deja vu. One is that often we'll dream something, we'll have a precognitive dream, which simply means we'll dream about something that's going to happen in the future. And we may not remember it consciously, but then when it does happen, we have that deja vu feeling. I think that sometimes we do remember dreams that are precognitive, and then maybe we'll still have that deja vu feeling when it happens. I think it can also happen when you go someplace maybe you think you've never been before, like maybe a city in Europe or something like that, and you have a deja vu feeling. It's because you actually have been there before in another life. But I think the most common reason we have the deja vu is because we had a dream about it, a precognitive dream that it was going to happen, and it did happen, and that's when we get that feeling. So that's my take on deja vu. I have the feeling not all the time, but I've had it a number of times. And when I think about it, I think it probably was because it was coming from a dream that I had, that because time is a strange thing. It's not in the mental realm. It doesn't really exist like it does here. Really, the fact of the matter is that all time exists all the time. We experience it in this three-dimensional reality as like we're standing in a river and the river is, you know, water is going past us. That's our experience of time in this dimension. But in another dimension, when we get out of this dimension into some of the astral planes, it's like we're at 50,000 feet looking down and we can see the river starts there in the mountains and it ends in the sea, and we can see the whole thing, if you see what I mean. This is not to say fixed, but it is from this point, you know, depending on decisions you make, it may change the future, but it's all there. It just, we can change it by changing our, making different decisions, but it's hard to explain. If you, Back to the Future, I think, those three films, you know, Back to the Future with really, they were, I think that was pretty accurate as to how it really works. As you recall, he goes back and changes something, and that changes the future. But the future was still there before. It was just, now it's different. I know that doesn't make any sense, but that's kind of the way I
get it. I think I understand it. Okay. Yeah. Excellent answer. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Ahmed. Thanks for calling in. Thank you. I think we have another caller, too. Caller 7. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, how are you tonight, Terrence? This is Chinchilla Jovisa, a.k.a. Chinchilla J, host of News Forum. How are you tonight?
Doing great. How are you doing tonight, Chinchilla?
I'm fine, thank you. Enjoying your show. And I just want to call in to let you know I was enjoying the show and your guest, and I'd like to say hello to him. And his name is Steven.
That's right, Steven Holly Martin.
Okay, how are you?
I'm great.
Been enjoying your talk. And, you know, I was listening when you were talking about Western science and, you know, the technology and different things like that. And I'm a naturopathic doctor. And so that just made me think about Western medicine and, you know, how it differs so much from Eastern medicine. And it's totally different, you know, here in America. The main thing is the Western medicine, of course, with surgeries and, you know, all types of invasive procedures and everything like that. And medicines, man-made chemically induced drugs that are legalized, and, you know, it's a sad thing. But when we look at other countries, they focus more on natural modalities and all, you know, like nutrition, proper rest and relaxation, proper water intake, and use of herbal teas and herbal supplements and, you know, things like that to bring about healing and harmony in the body. And they're a lot healthier. And, you know, for us to be the richest country in the world, a country that everybody wants to run to, we're the most corrupt country and we're the most sick country. And it's so sad. And we have the highest amount of obesity in this country as well. And it's a sad situation. So I was really interested, you know, in this, all the different things that you were talking about. Very interesting. And Terrence, I want to also congratulate you tonight, and let me do it officially. I want to congratulate Sonya Griffin Award-winning Linear New Host of the Year for 2020, Terrence Strength, on his WBNN all-time connection record with his 39th all-time and second consecutive with the Darlene Lawrence Championship. Congratulations, Terrence.
Thank you, Chinchilla. Wow. Thank you. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. So happy for you.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So have a good night. I'm just going to continue to listen to the end of the show.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's about time to wrap it up. Do you have any final? You have any final thoughts? I just want to ask one quick one quick question before it ends. I was visited by a loved one who passed away, and it seemed like it was in Technicolor. How would you describe that, Mr. Martin?
I think that that sort of thing happens frequently. It's not unusual. It doesn't happen to everybody, but I've talked to a lot of people who've had a loved one come to them after death, and it can happen in different ways. Sometimes it's like you said, where you almost have someone materializes in front of you. Other times it can be people get phone calls and they actually talk to them, or someone will from the other side will leave a message on their voicemail. And I heard one actually just today where a person got a text from somebody who had passed away. So
wow.
That kind of communication does happen. It's not unusual. Sometimes it'll come through an intermediary where, by that I mean someone from the other side, a father wants to tell his daughter something, but he'll do it through somebody else because he probably knows that the daughter would freak out if her father, who's dead, showed up in front of her. So, yeah, those kind of things are not unusual, even though it doesn't happen to everybody, but it definitely happens. No question about it.
Oh, it felt so real. It was like, it was just incredible. It wasn't like a regular dream.
Sometimes it happens in a dream, but it can happen when you're wide awake. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who was the lady who wrote On Death and Dying, was a Swiss psychiatrist who I think she was actually a teacher teaching at the medical school at the University of Chicago, was studying death. Mm-hmm. I mean, she would sit on bedsides of people who were on their deathbed, and she wrote a whole book about it. She apparently was about to change her course, do something different. She decided she was not going to continue on with that study. And one of her patients who had died appeared to her in her office physically. The woman was dead who appeared to her, but told her she needed to continue on with this work she was doing, and she did. And she wrote that book, which has become a perennial bestseller, On Death and Dying, which talks about how people, see relatives come to get them when they're, about to pass away and all that. I mean, it's really incredible. But this patient of hers came physically materialized in front of her in her office and told her that she needed to continue on that work. And so she did.
Wow. Wow. Mr. Martin, I've really enjoyed you tonight. Apparently, your listening audience really enjoyed you. Got a lot of calls tonight. It's been an honor. It's been an honor, and I'm going to call you and get some of your books.
Yeah, please do. And tell everybody, go to my website. You can check out my books there. It's shmartin.com, shmartin.com. I've enjoyed it, Terry. I really have. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Absolutely. And I think it's Ngozi time. But,
first of all, I want to thank our brother Stephen tonight for coming on this outstanding programming that is WBNN. A lot of times, I get visits from my parents, in comfort. It's never to warn, Stephen. It's always in comfort, about, the old days, and for me to be able to visualize the future days. And I want to thank the wonderful work of my mother and my father that continue to give me breath in this outstanding network tonight. And, of course, Tara Strength, what more can I say to you? That's already been said. Thank you so much for your diligence since 2019. This would be your fourth year in radio. And, you know, it's crazy. You know, July is coming up, right? And it's amazing how time flies. And, you know, with this great, great dynasty. Congratulations on your 39th WBNN all-time connection record and your second consecutive tonight. What more can I say? WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We are Ngozi Time at Twitter and Instagram, also Pinterest. And on Instagram with a separate call-in, which is OM Party Time. On Facebook at Oladele Malay Ngozi. And any comments, suggestions, or anything you want to say to our wonderful program tonight, oladele.my.com. I'm your mother and father's favorite producer, O.M. Ngozi, saying goodnight and good luck to all of our listeners at Armed Force Radio Network. Join us and in for tomorrow's programming. A casual chat with Ava Holly at WBNN, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com. And let's end our program tonight for the last 2 minutes and 42 seconds in this wonderful, outstanding presentation. The 2020 Sonya Griffin Award-winning Linear New Host of the Year, Mr. Terrence Strength.
Thank you, brother. I just want to thank Stephen Hardy Martin for coming in and talking to us this evening about these metaphysical questions that many of us have and giving us more clarity. It was an outstanding show. He was an honored guest, and I will be calling him. I will see you guys in 4 weeks for another show. Make sure you tell someone you love them. I had a great time tonight. I hope you guys learned something. You can contact me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and I have videos on YouTube and everything of these shows. And I will see you guys in 4 weeks. And remember, family, remember, always, always know your strength. Good night.